Have you ever considered how vital inventory management is to business success? Understanding effective inventory management can greatly enhance operational efficiency and profitability. In this chapter, we'll explore key strategies and best practices to optimize your inventory. Get ready to learn how these insights can transform your approach to managing inventory. In this lesson, you will learn the importance of efficient inventory management for driving operational efficiency and profitability. Next, you will differentiate various inventory types, including raw materials and finished goods, and their financial impacts on working capital. Additionally, you'll master modern trends and technologies in inventory management, such as automation and sustainability. Following that, you will apply inventory control techniques and the economic order quantity model to optimize costs effectively. Finally, you'll evaluate different inventory analysis and valuation methods to enhance financial reporting. Effective inventory management plays a crucial role in working capital. It represents a significant portion of current assets, being second only to receivables. When handled well, it leads to operational efficiency, reducing stockouts, and ensuring a smoother production flow. A well-managed inventory also positively impacts revenue by increasing on-time delivery and fill rates. Moreover, it helps enhance profitability by lowering carrying and obsolescence costs. Finally, integrating practices across marketing, finance, and operations is essential for aligning goals and improving overall performance. Understanding inventory through the lens of production stages is essential. First, we classify inventory as raw materials, work in progress, or finished goods to clarify production and fulfillment. Raw materials refer to inputs waiting for processing, where purchasing and supply risks are significant. Then, work in progress involves items that are partially completed, tying up labor and overhead costs during their transformation. Finished goods, ready for dispatch or sale, are sensitive to variations in demand. Finally, all stages impact cash flow, with finished goods being the most liquid, while raw materials and work in progress are not as easily converted to cash. Understanding the nature of inventory is crucial for effective management. First, we consider raw materials, which are essential inputs like steel for Tata Motors or flour for Britannia. Next, there's work in progress, representing items like half-assembled cars at Maruti Suzuki, where capital is tightly tied up. Lastly, finished goods are complete items awaiting sale, such as refrigerators from Godrej or smartphones from Samsung India. Each stage has unique implications for cash flow and inventory management. Inventory management significantly impacts a business's success. First, cash can be locked in raw materials, work in progress, and finished goods, which ultimately affects liquidity and flexibility. Next, raw materials influence the supply chain, with availability, lead times, and pricing dictating necessary buffers. Additionally, work in progress levels depend on production cycles, including batch sizes and cycle times. Finished goods are influenced by market demand volatility and how quickly products move through distribution channels. A real-world example is Hero MotoCorp, which pre-builds bikes for Diwali to balance anticipated festive demand and mitigate risks of lost sales or excess inventory. Understanding inventory management is crucial, especially when faced with liquidity challenges. First, inventory is the least liquid current asset, only converting to cash after production and sale, unlike cash or receivables. Second, a significant issue is working capital tie-up, as capital sits in stock. Additional costs arise from storage and risks of obsolescence. Third, each type of inventory experiences liquidity pinch. Raw materials face demand uncertainty, while work in progress remains locked, and finished goods risk slow sales. Lastly, cross-functional control is essential. Finance, purchasing, production, and marketing must align their strategies to optimize inventory management. Effective inventory management is crucial for smooth operations and maintaining healthy cash flow and margins. It's important to recognize that this is a collaborative effort involving finance, production, and marketing teams. Historically, these departments often operated in silos, leading to issues like delays and excess stock. Conflicting objectives among teams can complicate matters, with availability clashing against cost control and production stability. Moving toward an integrated approach can resolve these conflicts by establishing shared goals and coordinated planning. Marketing's objective revolves around driving sales through availability. This means ensuring there are zero stockouts and maintaining high service levels. To achieve this, teams often keep high inventory levels as buffer stock to meet demand anytime and anywhere. In urgent situations, they may need to interrupt production to expedite high-value orders that are not in stock. A robust distribution system also enhances coverage, enabling faster delivery across the nation. For example, Nestle India exemplifies this approach by maintaining high store-level availability to protect its sales. As we delve deeper into inventory management, reducing inventory becomes paramount. This strategy not only cuts your working capital, tied up in stock, but also lowers costs linked to storage and potential obsolescence. Next, limiting plants and warehouses helps to consolidate operations, minimizing both fixed overhead costs and logistics complexity. Favoring long production runs further enhances efficiency by lowering unit costs, setup times, and waste during changeovers. Additionally, producing to order aligns output with actual demand, effectively avoiding excess finished goods and accelerating cash conversion cycles. A prime example of lean inventory management is Bajaj Auto, which employs a produce-to-order mindset to maintain minimal stock levels while ensuring profitability. Effective inventory management transforms conflicting departmental goals into cohesive efficiency. Aligning marketing, production, and finance ensures service levels are upheld while costs are contained. This operational efficiency leads to smooth material flow and minimizes stoppages, ensuring the right stock is available at the right moment. The result is a tangible revenue boost, as fewer stockouts enable faster order fulfillment. Additionally, managing carrying setup and obsolescence costs enhances profitability, highlighting the need for integrated practices across departments. By establishing shared targets and clear ownership, organizations can optimize their resources effectively. SCM plays a vital role in resolving conflicts. It embodies end-to-end integration and synchronization across customers, firms, and suppliers, promoting a unified plan and shared data. By enhancing forecasting and streamlining production, SCM effectively reduces inventory costs. This leads to improved customer satisfaction through reliable delivery and quality. Furthermore, it optimizes working capital by turning excess stock into free cash, while enhancing operational efficiency by decreasing lead times and stockouts. Understanding modern inventory trends is vital for today's businesses. Just-in-time JIT strategies, as demonstrated by Toyota, align raw material deliveries with production needs, minimizing holding costs. Automation and ERP systems from providers like SAP and Oracle optimize stock control, exemplified by Infosys's global operations. AI demand forecasting, used by Amazon India, helps predict local market needs, reducing excess inventory. Blockchain transparency, showcased by Nestle, enhances product traceability and mitigates fraud risks. Lastly, sustainability initiatives such as those by Aditya Birla highlight the importance of environmentally friendly practices in inventory management. Understanding the fundamentals of inventory is essential for effective supply chain management. Inventory refers to the stock of materials or products maintained to meet customer demand or support production. This process follows an inventory cycle: ordering, receiving, storing, using or producing, and ultimately replenishing stock. Businesses face pressures to maintain larger inventories due to service level commitments, cost savings from bulk buying, and uncertainties in demand and lead time. However, companies must balance the trade-off between high inventory levels, which increase holding costs, and low levels that risk stockouts affecting turnover. Consider grocery shelves, which are stocked to meet shopper demand, or auto plants that keep essential parts on hand to prevent production delays. Understanding the inventory cycle is crucial for supply chain efficiency. Picture the water tank model, where the tank level represents inventory at a node. Inflows, like supplies and finished goods, raise this level, Outflows, such as customer shipments, lower it, impacting overall earnings. Balancing how much inventory to hold involves managing availability against risks and costs. This fundamentally shapes operational strategies. Chapter 8 focuses on the management of inventory, an essential aspect of supply chain efficiency. Faster delivery and on-time performance hinge on having sufficient stock nearby, enhancing fulfillment capabilities. Additionally, avoiding stock outs is crucial. Buffer stock helps prevent costly production interruptions. Fewer orders and setups streamline operations, reducing administrative burdens. Finally, taking advantage of quantity discounts can significantly lower costs, further encouraging larger inventory levels. As we explore inventory management further, consider how supplier batch size constraints influence our approach. Vendors often ship in fixed runs, which means buyers need to hold more inventory to align with these constraints. Additionally, price hedging becomes crucial. Building stock ahead of expected price increases safeguards our margins. Higher productivity and utilization are also impacted. Stable material flow enhances both labor and machine uptime. Furthermore, stabilized output leads to organized dispatches, resulting in smoother schedules and fewer last-minute expedites. From a financial perspective, we must weigh service and efficiency gains against the costs of tied-up funds in inventory. Carrying costs of inventory encompass several critical components. The cost of capital refers to funds tied up in inventory and is proportional to average inventory levels. Storage costs cover warehousing space and utilities, rising with the volume and time items are held. Handling costs involve the internal movement of goods and loading or unloading, increasing with stock handled. Insurance provides coverage for stored goods, with premiums rising as value held increases. Taxes relate to inventory levies, often dependent on inventory value, while shrinkage and obsolescence risks grow with increased stock. Understanding the cost of ordering inventories is essential for effective supply chain management. This cost encompasses all administrative and process expenses incurred per order, regardless of quantity. It is triggered with each replenishment event, whether to a vendor or an internal plant. Typical components include creating requisitions, purchase orders, and supplier communications, alongside logistics management. Key drivers of these costs are the number of approval layers, supplier setups, and compliance requirements. Knowing this helps shape replenishment policies while balancing trade-offs with holding costs. Understanding the various ordering techniques is crucial for effective inventory management. First, lot-for-lot orders exactly match net requirements, minimizing excess and ideally supporting high-value Class A items. Next, fixed order quantity is based on a trigger involving lead time demand plus safety stock, resulting in consistent ordering. Then fixed interval ordering follows a set schedule, adjusting to maintain stock at a defined maximum. Economic order quantity focuses on minimizing total costs for ordering and carrying, making it a popular model. Lastly, period order quantity uses EOQ to determine order timing while allowing flexibility in lot sizes according to demand. Cost considerations in ordering inventories are crucial for understanding overall efficiency. Each order entails specific costs, such as planning, setup, startup, and procurement, incurred once per order. Additionally, production control involves scheduling, releasing, expediting, and closing orders, which adds administrative overhead. The time spent on equipment setup and teardown is necessary when transitioning to new inventory. Moreover, initial production often results in startup waste, including rejects and rework. Finally, the purchasing process encompasses activities from RFQs to payment processing, all of which also occur with each order. Understanding effective inventory management is crucial for success. The aim is to maintain lean, risk-aware inventories while ensuring service levels are met. Cash tied up in stock represents a cost of capital, as it could be utilized elsewhere for higher returns. Aging inventory can lead to deterioration and obsolescence, increasing the risk of write-offs. Additionally, larger stock quantities create challenges in storage, handling, and potential for pilferage. To optimize operations, we can implement structured control techniques, such as stock-level control and order policies. Effective inventory management techniques hinge on three complementary levers. First, managing stock levels and order quantities is vital. Set minimum, maximum, and reorder levels to ensure timely replenishment. Next, item classification allows for differentiated control and oversight, helping focus attention on what matters most. Finally, maintain accurate and up-to-date inventory records to enable informed control decisions. Together, these strategies enhance overall operational efficiency. To effectively manage inventory, we need to understand stock level control. The reorder level, or ROL, is determined by multiplying maximum consumption by maximum lead time, prompting orders when stock hits this threshold. Next, the minimum level acts as an early warning buffer, calculated by taking the ROL minus normal consumption, multiplied by the normal delivery period. The maximum level ensures we don't overstock, found by subtracting minimum consumption during the shortest delivery time from the ROL combined with the reorder quantity. Additionally, the danger level derived from average consumption and maximum emergency lead time signals when to trigger an emergency purchase. Lastly, managing exceptions means expediting orders when below minimum or at danger levels and deferring receipts when above the maximum. To enhance our inventory management, let's start by computing the reorder level. This calculation is pivotal, as it sets the trigger point for placing the next order. Next, we derive the minimum level by considering expected usage during the normal delivery period. Now, we'll calculate the maximum level to avoid excess stock, adjusting for the minimum likely usage. Finally, we establish a danger level to ensure timely emergency action is taken when necessary. This systematic approach optimizes our ordering process for efficiency and effectiveness. Building on our discussion of inventory management, let's explore the economic order quantity, or EOQ. The context of EOQ is rooted in the continuous review system, where stock is monitored continuously and an order is placed once a predefined quantity is reached. Central to this process is the reorder point, or ROP, which indicates the specific stock level that signals when to replenish. EOQ gives us a systematic approach to determine how much to order, pinpointing the economic lot size. This approach effectively balances ordering costs with holding costs for efficient cycle inventory management. Finally, EOQ integrates seamlessly with stock level controls, maintaining optimal inventory levels throughout the ordering process. In understanding inventory management, let's delve into the concept of economic order quantity, or EOQ. The purpose of EOQ is to minimize the total annual holding and ordering costs. It assumes a constant demand, meaning the usage rate is steady and known. Additionally, there are no constraints on lot size, such as capacity, vendor schedules, or lead times. Item independence is another crucial assumption. The order decision for one item does not affect others. Together, these assumptions create a comprehensive strategy for effective inventory control. As we explore the economic order quantity, we start with two primary cost types: ordering costs and holding costs. Next, consider the assumption of single lot delivery, where inventory arrives in one shipment at the agreed lead time. The essential insight from graph 8.2 is that ordering costs decrease as lot sizes increase, while holding costs rise, resulting in a U-shaped total cost curve. Despite these simplifications, the EOQ model serves as a valuable optimization baseline. This foundational understanding helps guide effective inventory management strategies. Balancing ordering and holding costs is crucial in inventory management. The order size affects overall inventory. Larger quantities lead to fewer orders and a higher average inventory level. A trade-off exists. While ordering costs decrease with larger lots, holding costs rise as items stay in stock longer. The economic order quantity, or EOQ, is found at the intersection of these cost curves, minimizing total costs. Important variables include annual demand, ordering cost per order, unit cost, and carrying rate, which combines to form the holding cost. Now, let's apply these principles to hammerheads by calculating your specific values for demand, costs, and inventory. To manage inventory effectively, we'll explore a step-by-step example of the economic order quantity, or EOQ. First, we identify inputs and express carrying cost per unit year, converting the rate into a usable holding cost. Next, we compute the holding cost and find it to be 1 rupee per unit year. We then calculate EOQ using the standard formula, which gives us an optimal lot size of 200 units. Following that, we determine the number of orders per year, resulting in 5 orders. Finally, we verify that the ordering cost equals the holding cost, confirming our total cost is minimized. Transitioning from our earlier discussion of the economic order quantity, we need to adapt our approach in a changing environment. To begin with, it's essential to modify EOQ when business conditions affect costs or prices. This includes recognizing supplier price breaks, where quantity discounts can make larger orders more appealing, potentially shifting the optimal order size away from EOQ. Additionally, if there are shifts in the cost structure, such as ordering or carrying costs, the total cost minimum will also adjust. Practical constraints like minimum order quantities or cash limitations might further require us to rethink our order sizes. Ultimately, we focus on balancing purchase, ordering, and carrying costs to determine the best order size for our situation. Let's explore the critical factors affecting our order quantities. First, vendor quantity discounts can lead us to increase lot sizes to take advantage of price breaks, resulting in lower total costs. Next, we must consider capacity constraints, which can limit our order sizes based on available storage or production capabilities. Finally, non-integer order counts remind us to round EOQ values to practical integers. This rounding is essential as we compare the total costs of various options. By addressing these factors, we can optimize our inventory management strategy effectively. Let's delve into some crucial aspects influencing our order quantities. First, we must respect vendor minimum order quantities, also known as MOQs. These can dictate our order sizes even if they exceed the calculated economic order quantity. Next, consider transportation optimization. Aligning orders with full truckloads or container loads can significantly reduce costs. Additionally, any import or licensing requirements necessitate batching orders to coincide with permit cycles. Lastly, determining when EOQ is justified is vital. It's best used in make-to-stock scenarios with stable demand, as it primarily minimizes ordering and holding costs. In evaluating order quantities, we begin by outlining the total cost structure, which includes purchase, ordering, and carrying costs. The total cost formula is TC equals DP plus D over Q times county plus Q over 2 times CC. Next, we calculate the total cost at the current EOQ with no discount, yielding 251,000 rupees. Then we assess the total cost at the discount order quantity with a 2% price cut, resulting in 246,230 rupees. Comparing these totals reveals a saving of 4,770 rupees, suggesting we should accept the discount. Lastly, keep in mind that larger order sizes double the average inventory from 250 to 500 bottles, introducing additional storage implications. As we explore the impact of inflation on order quantity, understanding context is key. Prices are seldom static, so we must consider expected inflation in our annual assumptions. With rising purchase prices, the monetary value of inventory naturally increases. Additionally, inflation drives up carrying costs through financing, storage, and insurance. These factors lead to a marginal change in the economic order quantity as they offset each other. Thus, it's crucial to reassess your decisions by computing the EOQ and total cost while testing discount breaks and capacity before placing any orders. Inventory analysis is essential to target our efforts effectively. Understanding why we analyze helps concentrate on high-impact items, ensuring our controls align with usage, value, and movement. Using the ABC ranking, we prioritize items based on their annual consumption value, which informs our review frequency. The criticality lens, or VED, classifies items by their operational importance, safeguarding against stockouts of vital products. We also segment items by unit cost through the HML lens, calibrating our authorization and audit processes. Lastly, implementing movement and age lens helps us identify slow-moving stock, reclaiming cash tied in obsolescence. As we dive into ABC analysis, the Pareto-based approach reveals that a small number of items can drive the majority of inventory value. We categorize these items into A, B, and C classes. Class A items are very important, while Class B items hold moderate importance, and Class C consists of many items with marginal value. This method offers the advantage of being simple to apply and widely applicable, making results easy to visualize. However, keep in mind the limitations, such as the need for consistent data and potential oversimplification with just three classes. Additionally, fluctuations in prices can affect the accuracy of these classifications. Understanding ABC classification illuminates how we evaluate our inventory. Class A items, making up about 10% of our stock, contribute a staggering 70% of our total value. In contrast, Class B items represent around 20% of both quantity and value. Now, the majority of our inventory, around 70%, falls into Class C, but they only account for 10% of the value. This classification helps streamline our inventory management by focusing resources where they deliver the most impact. Chapter 8 delves into the critical management of inventory, emphasizing the Class A items that yield maximum impact. These are the vital few, characterized by a small count of items contributing the highest value. To ensure efficacy, strict and top-level control is needed, with authorizations from senior management. Additionally, maintaining very low or nil safety stock minimizes carrying costs effectively. Frequent and staggered ordering plays a key role in sustaining service levels without excess inventory. Finally, focusing on these prime candidates opens doors for optimization, enabling significant process and cost improvements. As we transition from the critical management of Class A items, let's explore Class B inventory. First, it's essential to maintain safety stock that is moderate, larger than that of Class A, to effectively manage demand variability. Next, implementing a bi-monthly or quarterly ordering cadence helps streamline efforts and ensures consistent supply. Planning should focus on past consumption trends, minimizing the need for complex forecasting. Establishing relationships with 3 to 4 reliable suppliers will further guarantee a steady supply under these relaxed controls. Lastly, consider loosening daily controls while adding fortnightly consumption reviews to maintain assurance over stock levels. Inventory management is crucial for efficient operations. Class C items represent about 70% of the total inventory, but contribute only 20% of annual usage value, reflecting their low criticality. To prevent frequent stockouts, holding larger safety buffers is essential. Ordering should be planned to consolidate purchases, typically done once or twice a year. This not only streamlines the process, but also helps to reduce administrative costs by consolidating vendors. Understanding these strategies ensures a balanced approach to handling Class C items effectively. Continuing our examination of inventory management, let's delve into the planning basis for Class C items. It's essential to use past consumption trends or rough estimates instead of relying on complex forecasting methods. For control, a simple periodic review works well, minimizing the need for detailed transaction tracking. As we assess inventory, flagging slow movers becomes crucial. We should consider disposing of or writing off any obsolete stock. This proactive approach helps maintain efficient operations within inventory management. Understanding these strategies will significantly enhance our effectiveness in handling Class C items. Let's explore the dynamics of inventory analysis, specifically focusing on the aging schedule. Fast-moving items require our full attention to ensure high turnover and availability, driving rapid replenishment. Next, we transition to normal-moving stock, where periodic reviews are essential to maintain balanced stock and reorder points. Slow-moving items need a different approach. We should freeze new purchases and promote usage to prevent waste. Finally, dead-moving stock warrants immediate action. Forming a team for disposal or transfer is key to optimizing inventory management. Each category plays a vital role in effective inventory control and operational efficiency. Understanding the classification of spare parts enhances our inventory management. First, vital components demand frequent scrutiny because they are critical to operations, ensuring minimal stockout risk. Next, essential items require periodical examination, allowing for some short delays in availability without severe disruption. Lastly, desirable parts are of low importance and can be ordered as needed, often disposed of if they become obsolete. This structured approach helps balance efficiency and reliability in our inventory practices. As we dive into HML analysis, understanding classification by price is crucial. HML categorizes items into high, medium, and low price groups, aligning inventory control intensity with their respective costs. High price items require tight controls, including senior approval and strict security measures. Medium price items benefit from balanced management practices like routine checks and vendor negotiation. Low price items allow for simplified controls with strategies like bulk purchases and easy issuing procedures. Ultimately, this framework complements the ABC and VED methods, guiding actions on slow moving low price items effectively. Understanding the valuation of inventory is essential because it directly impacts the cost of goods sold and the ending inventory value. A critical point to note is that the accounting flow may not always match the physical flow of goods. One widely used method is FIFO, or first in, first out, which assumes that the oldest costs are issued first. In contrast, LIFO, or last in, first out, assumes that the most recent costs are utilized first. Choosing the right method can significantly affect financial reporting and tax obligations. These principles shape how businesses manage and report their inventory effectively. Building upon our previous discussion, let's delve into some specific methods of valuing inventory. First, the average or weighted average method smooths unit costs, providing a balanced view over time. Next, actual price tracks the specific costs associated with particular batches, ensuring accuracy in financial reporting. Then we have replacement or current value, which sets issue prices at the current market rate to reflect true asset value. Another method is standard price or standard cost, utilizing a preset benchmark rate for consistency. Lastly, inflated price includes handling or overhead add-ons, impacting overall cost assessments. Let's explore FIFO, or first in, first out, which operates on the core assumption that the earliest purchases are sold first, keeping the latest in inventory. This method closely aligns with the physical flow of goods, especially for perishables and items on shelves. It's widely practiced in inventory valuation due to its straightforward approach. However, when prices rise, FIFO can understate the cost of sales, leading to inflated profits and taxes. Additionally, frequent price changes can complicate layer tracking, making costing more cumbersome. Despite these challenges, FIFO remains a pivotal strategy in inventory management. Let's dive into the concept of last in, first out, or LIFO. The core assumption is that the latest purchase costs flow to the cost of goods sold first, while the oldest costs remain in ending inventory. This leads to higher costs being recorded, resulting in lower reported profits and income tax deferral, especially in times of inflation. It's important to note that while LIFO is permitted under US tax rules, it is prohibited under IFRS standards. Additionally, during inflationary periods, LIFO can lead to an understated ending inventory compared to current replacement costs. Finally, frequent price changes can complicate record keeping, making the LIFO method operationally cumbersome. Understanding average-based issue valuation offers a way to navigate the complexities of cost fluctuations. Averages play a key role by reducing volatility in issue prices and simplifying record keeping. The simple average provides the mean of recent purchase prices, but overlooks the quantities involved. In contrast, the weighted average accounts for both price and quantity, delivering a more accurate picture. These methods significantly smooth out cost of goods sold and inventory values, helping moderate profit swings. They are particularly useful in scenarios with frequent purchases, mixed batches, and varying price volatility. Understanding the differences between average price and weighted average price is crucial. The average price is calculated as a simple mean of prices, treating each equally. In contrast, the weighted average price reflects the total value divided by the total quantity, accounting for purchase quantities. This makes it sensitive to price fluctuations, stabilizing costs effectively. Moreover, the weighted average is simple to compute and produces more realistic financial statements, making it widely accepted in accounting practices. The method of actual price involves assigning issue materials at their real purchase cost, without any pooling or averaging. This approach is particularly useful for specific purpose purchases, like special spares, dies, or jigs. To maintain accuracy, it's essential to keep separate ledgers for each job or item, which aids in tracing exact costs. It's best suited for the jobbing industry, especially where there are few expensive non-standard components per order. While this method provides high cost accuracy and traceability, it also demands considerable administrative effort and may limit comparability across different inventory items. Continuing our discussion on inventory management, let's explore replacement price as a method. This approach assigns the current market value to materials issued, reflecting the true cost to replace inventory items. Understanding this technique helps capture real-time costs and provides insightful profit margins for comparison with competitors. It is best suited for traded commodities where market quotes are both transparent and timely. However, frequent price adjustments and sourcing reliable quotes can pose practical challenges. Additionally, financial statements can be affected by inflation, leading to stock valuation issues that may require write-offs during deflation. Effective inventory management relies heavily on the concept of standard price. We utilize expected costs while also tracking variances between standard and actual expenditures. In terms of accounting flow, receipts are recorded at actual prices, while materials are issued at standard prices, with discrepancies posted to purchase price variance. This practice is integral for managerial functions like budgeting, product costing, and making informed pricing decisions. Financially, while small variances are manageable, significant discrepancies can distort income, necessitating careful monitoring. Lastly, this method is most effective when standards are accurate, though inaccuracies can lead to audit complications. In managing inventory, understanding the concept of inflated pricing is essential. This approach involves adding a set percentage to the purchase price, allowing for recovery from various losses. It effectively spreads potential losses such as theft and obsolescence across production. Accuracy in estimating wastage percentage plays a key role and should be regularly updated through audits and data analysis. This method is particularly useful in stable processes with predictable and low variance in losses. However, it's crucial to monitor risk and control, as inaccurate percentages can either inflate costs or leave financial gaps. Now that we've discussed inventory management basics, let's delve into just-in-time, or JIT management. JIT integrates closely with the total quality management system, emphasizing quality at the source and continuous improvement. To implement JIT effectively, key preconditions include consistent quality, strong vendor and manufacturer ties, and reduced lead times. Typical practices involve maintaining supplier proximity, executing small and frequent deliveries, and utilizing long-term contracts with shared online data. The benefits are significant, as JIT leads to lower inventory levels, reduced floor space, and synchronized material flow. Additionally, JIT is compatible with economic order quantity principles, and the use of annual contracts can help minimize ordering costs. Let's consolidate what we've learned about the management of inventory. We began with the nature and significance of inventory, recognizing its role in operational efficiency and profitability. Then we explored crucial inventory management techniques, including stock-level control, and modern trends like just-in-time. Next, we discussed inventory analysis and valuation methods that aid effective control. Lastly, we highlighted the cost considerations necessary for balancing carrying and ordering costs. This understanding prepares you for applying these principles in real-world scenarios.